I wonder, have any one of you ever sent a message to the wrong person? Like, there's those times where, you know, you send the message and you get a response and it's kind of like, oh, I sent it to the wrong person, silly me. But then there are those times when it's more like you sent the message and then my life is over. Who sent one of those? Or it's like, I can't believe I sent this to the wrong person. So when I think of that, you can tell those stories a bit later on. My turn right now. I think of a time before Christy and I got together where a mate was stirring me up about a particular girl, and I intended to send a message to this mate about the girl, but of course I sent the message to the girl. And I can be pretty slow at times, and this was evidenced in this particular occasion because I get a message back from her. I need to preface this by saying this is like an old school Nokia. So this phone had like three key functions. You could call, you could text, and you could play Snake. When you sent a text message, or when you received a text message, it was not listed in conversation. And so it was just the message and who it was from. You had to go, you know, back out and scroll down to get to the previous one they'd sent you. It wasn't like listed in the same screen for you. Anyway, so I get this message and I'm like, my mate sent it to her. Oh, how could he? Fortunately, I had a friend there with me who was like, no, I think you just sent it to her. I was like, oh yeah. Different technology, but same problem. And quite a few of you had the same thing. It is not a fun experience to send the message to the wrong person. Has anyone ever had that happen where you've sent the message to the person that you intended, you've done absolutely the right thing, but the app has malfunctioned and it's gone to the wrong person? Has anyone had that happen? I haven't either. You probably wouldn't use the app again, would you? It's conceivably possible, but it is highly unlikely. When we have problems like that, it is typically a user error and not a problem with the internet. The internet got it wrong. The internet did it. And if I had have thought 15 years ago about the internet on my phone, too much. Way out there in the future one day. The thing about technology, the thing about internet is that it is predictable. We don't necessarily have to understand how it works. We're not all like Josh Tonkin. We don't necessarily understand how it can be that I can call someone from the other side of the world, I can call friends and I can call relatives in Canada and I can see them and talk to them in real time. I can't explain it, but I can utilize it and I can enjoy it. Although there are those people who have no clue on how to utilize these things and they think you're amazing just because you press some buttons and you can do this thing. Maybe a grandparent or even a parent or that special friend who's just like, oh my goodness, how did you do that? And you're like, I just pressed the button. Seriously, I didn't make it. I'm using it. If you can identify with that, then maybe you can identify with Flint Lockwood in this particular moment.
Dad! Oh, okay, great. On the screen, there's a file marked kill code. Move that into my email window. Ha! Type in my name and press send.
Window?
Hey, Dad, you see the thing that looks like a little piece of paper?
What?
Use the mouse to drag it.
Drag it?
Drag it.
Drag it.
Drag it. Right? It's not drag. Drag it across the desktop.
That didn't do anything.
Of course it didn't. You know what? Ah! Dad! Oh, okay, great. On the screen, there's a file mark.
Mine is maybe the molten lava and some of those little details. Maybe you can identify with something like that. How the internet works, I don't know. But I want to make the most of it. I want to be someone that maybe is mind-boggled, maybe doesn't understand it, but still utilizes it. I wonder if maybe God, for you, is something that is similarly mind-boggling. It's like, I don't understand. I don't understand how a God created everything and created me. And then it goes to the next level when there's people around you who say stuff like, oh yeah, I was just talking to God the other day. And you're like, talking to God? I don't get it. And maybe you feel a bit like Flint's dad in that, where you're just like, does not compute. Drag it across the desktop. And you're like, talk to God? How do you have a relationship with someone you've never seen? How do you communicate with someone that you've never heard speak? There's a couple of things that I want to say to you if you're in that position tonight. Because it's not the end of the world if you find yourself in that position. And I want to actually encourage you tonight if you're confused, if you're unsure about things of God. I think with the internet, it's just pretty good evidence. We can't explain it, but we get to watch the video, listen to the music, and so there's evidence for it. And is there the same kind of evidence for God? You don't have too many people who are like, yeah, I don't believe in the internet. Maybe there are some, but it's not very common. I certainly haven't met anyone who's like, nah, it's not real. No. Is there enough evidence for God? Is this a thing of mystery? I think the reality for a lot of us is that a lot of the time we're just not thinking about it. We're not thinking about God. We're not thinking about our connection to Him. And when things are good, when things are okay around us, then we often don't ask that many questions. But when things don't work out as we want them to, or if we're anxious about something, it's in those moments that the questions become far more important. Maybe in a time when your parents' finances aren't going well and you just don't know how it's going to work out. Maybe your girlfriend just stops talking to you, or you're waiting to hear back about that big audition, or your sister gets a diagnosis, or a fire or flood threatens your home. Anyone feel the earthquake the other night? A couple of people. Didn't really threaten any homes. You might fail a subject or fear that you're about to. And when you have these times where something goes wrong, we want there to be a reason behind it. We want there to be something bigger. We want to know that it's not all just going to go pear-shaped. We want to know that someone's got our back, someone or something. We want to know that this whole thing, the world around us, and we are wired in a certain way. We want to know that there's purpose. And so there's two things I mentioned before, I alluded to before. If you are struggling to connect with God, or you're checking this stuff out, but I just don't get it, I don't understand, then there's two things I want you to know. You're not alone. It's an incredibly common question. And the second one is that God is not angry with you because of questions, doubts that you have. If you were to pick up the Bible and open to the Psalms, there's 150 Psalms. A lot of them are written by King David. The most common type of psalm, most common genre, is lament. It's these ones crying out to God. Why have you abandoned me? God, where are you? I don't understand. Even shaking fists at God. But here's the thing that happens so consistently in the Psalms. People are bringing their questions, they're bringing their doubts to God. They're not allowing it to take them away from Him, they're actually bringing it to Him. And that's a game changer. It is not a bad thing to have questions. I want to encourage you that this Bible, in fact, every Bible, is amazing. What a privilege to have what God has shared with us, freely available in our own language, to be able to get in and discover what it is to have a relationship with Him. If we go to the very beginning of the book, Genesis, in fact, the very first verse of the whole Bible, It tells us where it all begins. And it tells us that it's not some accident. It was something that was designed. God created it. It wasn't random. It was deliberate. And he did it with a purpose. If we then go further into the same chapter, we discover, it says it two times, that we're made in his image. We're wired in a particular way. The same wiring that is in the whole world around us is in us. You see, the creative, relational God who made us like him. He made us in his image. And so that we would be creative, so that we would be relational. And it's an amazing thing. And so there is something about nature, and you probably experienced it. It might be that you're standing on top of a mountain, and you're just like, oh my goodness, the view is stunning. You might be at a waterfall. I remember one time being at the Murray Mouth down at Goolwa Beach, and we'd driven along the beach, and I was there with a couple of friends, and normally it's quite windy down there, but it was completely still. And I saw this rainbow, and it just seemed to be getting more and more crisp and sharp and bold in its colors. And I still have never seen a rainbow that was so complete and so bold in its color. And we just stand there going, oh my goodness, it is amazing. Something rises up within us when we see God's fingerprints all over creation. And on that day, as we're standing there looking at this thing, one of us happened to notice what was behind us. And we had the most incredible rainbow before us and then a beautiful sunset behind us. And it's just like, oh my goodness, where do I look? It's all so good and it's amazing. Something stirs within us because we are wired to appreciate God in everything around us, in creation, but also in people and also in stories. Like Christy, if you haven't heard Christy's message from Sunday, I encourage you to listen to it on the podcast. And she talks about the movie Tangled and unpacks God's story from this story of Rapunzel. And there's something about the best stories, the ones that really resonate with us. The reason they resonate with us is because they show us things about God's character, about his wiring. And so we're stirred up and we're like, oh my goodness, that self-sacrificial love, that person laying down their life, that person doing something and making someone else more important than themselves, that causes something to rise within us. We see it in movies, we read it, we witness it in real life, and we hear it in stories from others. And it's God's wiring in us that is in the world around us, that is in the best stories that we will ever be exposed to. And it's amazing. When we begin to see the evidence of God's wiring, he becomes a little less invisible to us. The more that we notice that stuff, the more that we get to see God. And the primary thing that we're created to do, that we're wired to do, is actually to love him. All of us, like Chris nailed it last year. He talked about how we are wired to worship, and all of us worship. Maybe it's at a concert, maybe it's at a sporting event, but just something rises up within you and you just have to respond when you hear something or see something. When certain things happen, we actually respond in worship. And we're created that way. And the way that, or the person, the object of our worship is intended to be God, who will never let us down. He'll never have an off night. He'll never forget about us. He will never, ever let you down. And that's amazing. We were created to love him. We have this scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 6 that talks about this. We were created to love him. The next verse 5. I'm all over the place. Let's go with 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. You shall do it. This is what's going to happen. You will see him and you will love him. If you don't love him, you haven't seen him. Have you ever had, slight change up right now, ever had a crush on someone you've known for a long time? And it just out of nowhere, when I was about 8, I had a next door neighbor who I'd been neighbors with since I was 4. And just out of nowhere, suddenly, I couldn't even look at her. I had this epic crush. Same person, I just saw her totally differently. It's interesting how that happens. We suddenly notice someone, we notice something in someone, they're the same person. We've just seen them differently. If you don't love God, I want to suggest that maybe you haven't seen him. Maybe you haven't noticed him as he really is. Because when we see him, we can't help but respond in love. When we know how much he has loved us, we were born to love him in response, to love him back. It is not a foreign, weird thing. It's what we were created for. It's really hard for people to love each other if they don't notice each other. So if you don't notice someone, how can you love them? If you don't notice God, how can you love him? So notice him. This week, when you see it in your mum, when you see it in your friend, when you see someone that prefers you over themselves, does something for your benefit, or when you see it done to someone else, notice, acknowledge, and celebrate that that's God's wiring in that person, demonstrating his character. And maybe you'll witness something amazing in nature. Maybe you'll remember something. But allow these things to cause you to notice him. Notice God and fall more in love with him. So I encourage you, pay attention to the places where his wiring is obvious in this world. Maybe even now. What stands out to you? What's a place? A place that you've been where you see it? What's a relationship where you see it? What was a circumstance where it was really obvious? So often it's there and we don't see it. You may have heard this prayed. I pray it all the time. Lord, open my eyes and my ears that I may see and hear you at work in this world. It's a powerful prayer to pray, and he loves to answer it. We're not even asking him to do anything he's not already doing. We're just asking that we would notice it. So no matter where it is, pay attention and use that moment to become more aware of him and to notice him. One thing I want to encourage you with as well as I close is that scene with Flint Lockwood, right? There's lava. It's a reasonably intense moment in his life. And in that moment, he's trying to teach his dad how to use the computer. How many of us have an intense moment and we try to connect with God for the first time in the intensity of some sort of crisis? We're like, how do I hear from God? How do I understand what I should be doing? But we're doing it in an intense moment. Please do it in the intense moments, but don't wait for those. In the quiet moments, when you can actually choose what you do with your time, choose him. Choose to open up your Bible. Choose to step outside and look up. Choose to engage with him, because the more we do that in those quiet, normal kind of moments, the better able we are to hear his voice. And so in those moments of crisis, we know what his voice sounds like. We know how to respond, and we have relationship with him.